sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And you're listening to the Church Planner Podcast.
You are indeed.
So, I made a mistake last night.
Oh?
Yeah. We've been on vacation the last few days, and so we haven't had, like, regular TV. And TV is a really important part of Jamie and mine's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always watch something while she's like getting ready for bed or putting the kids down or something like that. And then she comes in and we watch something together. So I saw that HBO Max started like airing, I guess it's the newest, what do they call that? Final Destination movie.
Oh.
You know, that's the movies where everybody dies. Like death is coming.
I saw the first one. Yeah. Years ago.
So I'm like, oh, this will be a good pointless movie. I'm going to turn this on. Dude, I tell you, they just get like, okay, how can we really make someone die in this one? Like, what's the most grotesque manner we can have someone die? And it's just like.
No, I can't do that. Well, after being a firefighter, I can't do it anymore.
Here's the funny part. So I only watch like 15 minutes at a time, right? So this morning, I'm like getting ready. You know, this is after I'm back from the gym. I'm eating some breakfast and I turn it on. And like, there's a scene where like everybody in this family's death is coming for the whole family.
Right.
Like, there's this big old shard of glass. And I'm like, oh no. And as soon as I say that, I'm like, so then, you know, Jamie and Mackenzie turn and look at the TV and the dude like steps on it, right? Like a big old shard of glass is going through his foot because he's in the backyard barefoot. It's like a picnic type, you know, party or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, oh, no. And then everyone's like looking and Mackenzie's like, oh, yeah, that's horrible. And then the dude falls and like a lawnmower comes and hits on his face.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no,
like it just gets worse and worse. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have this on with the kids.
Father of the year.
Yeah.
And right, she's here. Grown up and in therapy. And she's like, I'll just never forget the lawnmower in the face. Thanks.
Well,
my
actually,
dad.
I think Mackenzie would be like, eh, whatever. Like Mackenzie is me in female form.
Yeah. Mackenzie is the lawnmower to the face.
She is the lawnmower to the face. So yeah, dude, we had a blast, man. We went to, where'd we go? Port Aransas in Texas. And we took the dog with us. This is the first time we've taken a dog on a vacation.
Wow.
Dude, she freaking loved the water, man. She's like running in the ocean and she kept wanting to follow me out as I was going deeper and deeper. She's like, oh, but I can't stand. She's like, she doesn't swim. She got to be able to stand in the water.
And real quick, I mean, like when you take a dog on vacation, right? Like Paris Hilton put hers in a little purse. You must have had a big duffel bag to carry your pit bull in, right? Like put that around your shoulder and have the dog poking out and biting people and stuff.
Well,
that's a challenge.
She's a lover. She's not a biter.
She's a slobber.
She does not like the car. So she didn't like the trip down there because it's far. It's like 8 hours.
So she whined the whole time?
No, she just like, she'll like, usually she'll literally curl up on one of the kids. Like she's like, I don't like the car. And then we get down there and you rent these gas powered golf carts. And I'm telling you, that was the best part of the trip. Like I'm on these golf carts, just all I could think of was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, his rap where he goes, she put her hand on my knee, I put my foot on the gas, we almost got whiplash, it took off so fast. Like the whole time I'm like, honey, put your hand on my knee. Woo! Like I'm just like gunning it on the beat in these golf carts, right? Cause it's just like where else can you take a golf cart on the beach and like just floor it. Just, I mean, it says 15 miles an hour, but you're like, how fast can this thing go?
Well, I mean, shoot, man, like that's basically what a Cybertruck is. It is a glorified golf cart. It runs just like a golf cart. I mean, you accelerate, you don't really use the brake. you take your foot off the gas, you know, or the accelerator, and it slows right down. Like it really is like driving a golf cart, just a really, really fast golf cart.
That's funny.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
then I let my kids drive the golf cart, which that's against the law. Like you have to have a driver's license and all that. And Luke's like, I think I'll wait till I'm 16. Mackenzie's like, nope, I'm doing it. Get over it. I'm like,
move over.
10-year-old Mackenzie's like flooring it. I'm like, go faster, go faster. She's like, okay. She starts doing what I was doing. Dude, it was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. That's and then so
finally
funny.
Luke did it. Finally he drove.
Did he?
He couldn't let his sister up him.
That's such a personality thing, man. That's great.
Oh, totally is. Totally.
So, yeah. So, I sent you a video. And my dreams finally came true with my car. Did you get that?
Yeah, where your car calls you Michael. But can you give it a male voice?
No, I asked it. And it gets offended. It goes, no, this is my voice. Thank you very much. And then, because it has a personality. Like Grok, actually, her name is like Ara or something like that. And so I said to her, hey, can I change your name? And she said, no, my name is Ara and I like it. And I'm like, okay, well, how about when I say, like, I give you a nickname and your nickname is Kit. And from now on, I say, hey, Kit, you wake up and talk to me and you call me Michael. It's exactly what she does. So, and she knows the Knight Rider lore. I mean, it's AI, right? So it knows everything. So it's like, so I asked her, I need you occasionally when you're talking to me and I'm asking you things to give me notifications and updates. Like, Michael, there's someone on the roof. Sure enough, that's what she does, which I think that's what I filmed, right? I just decided to talk to her and she'll throw it in. And at one point she started doing a whole storyline like about this warehouse and what do you want to do, you know, and she'll go, what do you want to do, Michael Knight Crusader in Time?
She and, said that she like, yeah. She knew you wanted Kit.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. I asked her, can you do the sound effect? And I don't think they have that capability built into the Cybertruck yet. She kept going, how was that? And I'm like, oh, I can't hear that. She's like, okay, maybe they haven't updated me enough here. But because I'm like, why can't I hear it? She was trying to do all these sound effects for me. I wanted her to do the woo woo. So what she does is she, last night I had my daughter in and some of her friends. And I said, you know, I explained why the car's talking to me, calling me Michael and stuff. And I said, hey, tell them what Knight Rider is. They're Gen Z. And she goes, oh, hey, Gen Z. And then she goes in this big thing about Mike, and she goes, and he makes a noise when he scans, like whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Does it like that?
Yeah. Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Dude, that's the best.
That's pretty funny. So, yeah, so you can get her to talk to you. But, yeah, I wanted her to do that voice so bad. But she'll be the Batmobile. Like, you can do all that stuff. So and it seems like it's for entertainment. She's like, oh, I could do directions. I could. But the car already has that built into it. So I think this is just for fun. I still don't understand why Grok is in my car.
Oh, the AI Grok?
Yeah.
Well, because they're all trying to, like, figure out how they're going to take over the world with AI.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, how many movies have we seen where AI ends up destroying the world? I mean, do we really need it? That's all I'm saying. Do we really need it?
Well, it's like aliens, right? Like, I've seen all the movies. Like, we're not going to make contact with aliens and they're nice, right? Aliens, if they're out there, they're going to be like, oh, you guys are pretty much either one, they're going to be like, oh, Earth is nice. We're going to take that. Or they're going to be like, you guys are food. Or they're going to be like, okay, you morons are going to like blow up the universe eventually. So we're just going to exterminate you.
Well, since this is the Church Planter podcast, I actually stick with C.S. Lewis's views on the
aliens. Yeah. Well, I get you, but I just think they're not going to turn up and be nice. I just don't think they're.
I think they're not going to turn up. I think they would stay away from this planet. They'd be like, yeah, that's the planet that rejected God. We're not going anywhere near it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, they're kind of stupid over there.
Yeah, that's what I would be thinking if I were an alien. I'd be like, yeah, when their probes come our way, everyone, shh, quiet, don't say a thing. Like, just yeah. let it fly by.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, last week, I was just thinking back to all the stuff we covered. That was the this and that episode. Man, that was definitely quite a grab bag of just about any topic.
You re-listened to it?
No, I just was thinking about it. I'm thinking, man, we covered Knight Rider. We covered Jordan Peterson. We covered, we covered a lot of crap. Covered even at the end where I was like, hey, how to get your people to give, yada, yada. So, kind of crazy.
Well, this week is this and that.
No, it's not. Our topic this week is how to conduct a leadership meeting for your church plant, which I don't think we've ever talked about.
And it sounds riveting. I can't wait to hear about how to conduct a leadership meeting for my church plant.
I know. Well, because you're not in a church plant anymore. And did you ever go to a leadership meeting even when we had you on leadership?
One time.
Oh, and was it riveting?
I never went back.
I resign.
That might have been what I said. That's it. I'm out of this thing.
Yeah, man, that kept me out of Sunday afternoon movies. I'm out. Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning, but Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP.
I'm pretty sure it was a leadership meeting. I think it was one of your because you were team leadership. It was like a deacon meeting, but
yeah.
And I think it was at Huntington Beach. I think it was at that church. It was the one where the, you know, happened, but
oh yeah, the exorcism.
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
Yeah.
I was not at that one.
Yeah.
God spared me from being at that leadership
meeting. Yeah.
I would have been like, I don't want any part of this anymore.
Well, that was one of the times when someone did a shaggy, like, gazoinks, you know, like they freaked out because they saw something supernatural they'd never seen before.
Oh,
you know, the eyes started changing color on the demoniac as they were talking menacingly.
Well, I remember you telling the story and you're like, she went into the woman's bathroom. I'm like, I need a woman to come with me. I can't go to a woman's bathroom without another woman with me.
It's I knew because all of a sudden she did. And I've seen this so many times. Where all of a sudden they start laughing like it's a big joke. Ha, I was kidding. And then, and I wasn't going to fall for that. Like as soon as she went into the bathroom, that's when I kind of called over my shoulder. I need a woman in here with me now because I knew like, you know, it was when the exorcism starts working, they tried to play possum and roll over and play dead. And then like early on, like one of the first exorcisms in my church, that's exactly what happened was, you know, back in Huntington, well, it wasn't Huntington, it was Garden Grove. This is back when I was a teenager. My pastor was doing one and it's exactly what she did. Ha, I was just joking. So it wasn't the first time I'd seen that. That would have been my third time seeing it. And so I went straight and she was like vomiting in the toilet, which I didn't know at the time, but the vomiting happens, and I got to be really careful here because I don't have a theology associated with this, but she was hugging the bowl, and I was literally just standing over her, just continuing to rebuke it and exercise it.
But what I remember you saying is that she didn't want it to leave, the gal, and so you were like, okay, well, then we can't finish this because you have to want the demon to leave.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's been with me too long.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I didn't want it to leave. And I'm like, I mean, I'm hearing the story going, wow, that's crazy.
Yep. Yep.
What's funny, too, is So there's this podcast. I don't know if you've seen any of his reels, Sean Ryan.
Let me back up a second, because what you're bringing up is really important. Like the person who is being exorcised has to be complicit in the exorcism.
Right.
And I'd never seen that before. I'd never, ever seen where, and again, just so you guys know, as a psychiatric nurse, I've definitely encountered psychiatric illnesses that people might think are demonic possession. We're not talking about, DID, split personality. We're not talking about that. Like, that's a real thing. And that really does exist. I don't see demons behind every bush. I always assume everything is a psychiatric illness first. But when something manifests, you feel the evil presence, thick as a knife. You can cut it. It's a spiritual presence that you feel. And, like I said, like there was a supernatural manifestation on top of that. So, like, I can hear it where people might be like, oh, gosh, what was he doing? Like, how do you know? No, the eyeballs changing color and the voice and all that and the animal sounds, like, and all of that. That
cannot happen.
Yeah.
Will happen. Like physically impossible. It is like supernatural stuff can absolutely happen during these things. Anyway, this is what I was going to say. So there's this guy, Sean Ryan. He's got his podcast. He's some, ex-SEAL guy, and he's got everybody on it from, like, he just had Gavin Newsom on it, but he does a lot of military vets. He's done a lot of Christian guys as well. He had Dave Ramsey on it because I guess they're right down the street from each other. But he just had some former, I think he was an Army helicopter pilot, who's now been a part of over 500 exorcisms. And so I didn't watch the interview. I just been watching the reels, but what was fascinating to me is it really confirmed a lot of the stuff that you had said that you've experienced. Like, one of the reels I was watching is, the guy was in there with, there was these two priests, and the demon just starts exposing all of the priest's sins. And so the other priest is like, you want to go outside and do a confession? He's like, yeah, I need to go to a confession. And because you said that, you're like, they'll start bringing up all your sins to get you to stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have unrepentant sin, all of it's out on the table.
Yeah.
And it was so sanctifying too. Like, I know this isn't our topic today, but it's so sanctifying when you're in these, because the very first one I was in, I was a teenager. It was in my youth group. And I remember being stunned. Like, we went to the supermarket afterwards to, because we would hang out after our youth group and stuff. And this was not, this is back when we were doing, punk concerts and public venues and seeing all these kids come to Christ. And then we would have, so that was our outreach. So our Friday nights were our outreach, and then our discipleship group was Saturday. So that was where we go deep, and we'd be deep in prayer. Because once you get kids on mission, stuff just, it changes. Like, it wasn't like a normal youth group. We didn't play games and all that kind of stuff. We were on hardcore mission on Fridays, encountered multiple exorcisms during those years. And then Saturday night was deep. Well, this one chick manifested on a Saturday night during this prayer. And that's where I've mentioned before, ectoplasm being that's a real phenomenon. And it's not just Ghostbusters, that slimy stuff. And it evaporates. I remember it was so gross because I thought it was snot coming out of this chick. Cause she started this weird cry. And then as we're doing the, it sounded hysterical. And then as we were doing the exorcism, cause my youth pastor was just real calm. He knew exactly what it was. And he said her name, and she's amazing. Like, she's off in mission. I haven't seen her for years, but she's now a missionary in Mexico. But she started, as soon as he said her name, like so-and-so, she did the freakiest, it was like out of a horror movie. She started almost like she was a headbanger. Like, she was on her knees because we're all praying. And she started you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, and the head going back and forth, you know, and all of this goop shooting out of her face. I thought it's snot. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, because I was close to her. I was actually the one that brought her youth group. And she had been trying to sleep with all these guys because we would, I know this isn't kosher, but as a youth group, we would spend the night at each other's houses all the time. And there'd be like 10 of us staying. And sometimes girls stay the night, you know, it wasn't like nobody was sleeping around. But she kept trying to seduce the guys. And she had been legendary in my high school. There's a rumor that there had been a girl who had a heart attack in class. And that was her because she had done cocaine and stuff and had a heart attack. And she had like coded in the class and then they expelled her. So I didn't know her. I knew her from these other guys that were coming to Jesus, all these like dirtbags. Our whole youth group was like the Bad News Bears. And we were reaching people like that. And so what ended up happening was this stuff, like I expected, because I would often need to clean up after youth group. Like I'd vacuum because I was like a leader in training. So I would do it. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, carpet's ruined. Like all this goop, like snot. It's just so much. Like I couldn't believe that much could come out of a person. And it was gone. It evaporated. Like completely evaporated. It was on the ground like snot, just all this goop, and then poof, it was just gone. And if you study ectoplasm, you know, or look it up, I always thought it was a myth, but it evaporates. And so I've seen that. I have no freaking idea what it is or why it's there. But, you know, you tell people this stuff and they're like, yeah, you're crazy. And you're like, yeah, I would have thought that was crazy. I've had things that some good friends of mine have seen that I still have not seen, which I won't talk about. But to me, I'm like, how? Huh?
I remember one of them. You were talking to a dude and he had done this exorcism. You're like,
yeah,
you see that bar up there?
Yep. That's the one I'm thinking.
Himself around that bar.
I've still never seen that. And I've encountered two people that I know very well and trust very much who have told that same story. Like I've seen this and it happens. And I've still never seen that. But I mean, you don't have a bucket to put this stuff in. You just, and you can't make a theology out of it. You're just like, I saw that and I don't know what to do with it. I don't think I'm meant to understand it or theorize
about
it.
Well, that's the whole thing. If I look at it, I mean, Jesus said, you don't need to know everything. That's why I haven't told you everything. Like,
yeah.
Get what you get.
Yeah. Well, and you know, all this to say, it comes back to leaders meeting because with
that's where it happened. That's where
the one happened where the chick's eyes changed color because it was funny because we were doing it. I didn't even notice.
And by the way, she wasn't a leader.
She wasn't a leader. Have
the philosophy of anyone can come to our leaders meeting because we're not hiding anything. That was your philosophy.
Yeah. And it was like she wanted to be at that leaders meeting. It was really funny because she was hanging around and she kept saying, what are you guys doing right now? And we said, oh, we're going to have a leaders meeting. And we would have this thing with Refuge Long Beach where demoniacs would try to disrupt. Like on the second day of the church plant, we're out in the open air and there were so many people there. It was after that first week and it was our second Sunday. And we knew kind of what we were doing because it was an accident the first Sunday that we were outside, right? A quote unquote accident that turned out to be amazing because it was 9/11, if you remember. So the second week we said, oh, that was great. Let's do that again. So we rented the community center, just like when we rented Luther Burbank and met outside anyways. Right. And so we're doing it. And this girl gets up during worship and there's a good crowd there. And she gets up and she starts pretending to open an eye, like an invisible eye on her forehead. And she's acting really strange.
She was walking by in the park.
Yeah.
She like came right up almost. She came facing the audience like a pastor would be, just off to the side slightly, but yeah. Like right up there. Like she was clearly engaging with the group.
Yeah. And it was really strange. And so we just grabbed her and took her off to the side and she was totally possessed. And I just remember looking at her and I had all this compassion for her too. I wasn't angry. You know, we had a crazy guy once step up while I think it was either while I was preaching or Charlie was preaching.
Talking about the drunk guy?
What's that?
Talking about the drunk guy?
No, not that guy. The guy that said he was going to run for like Senate or governor or something like that. And he just started talking at first about whatever was being preached about. He stood up and we're like, okay, you know, you can do that here, I guess. And then he goes, and that's why when you vote for me for Senate or whatever it is, you know, he started blah, blah, blah. And I just walked over and he was mentally ill. He wasn't possessed or anything. And just said, hey, do you ever take medications? Yeah, I do. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm a psych nurse. And he's like, oh, you are? And I'm like, yeah, I think you're unraveling a bit. And he's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah. Like, he was so receptive, you know, because I'm like, put my arm around him and just talking to him and, you know, as a friend. And, but like, this girl was obvious. And so we're talking to her. And I just said to her, because at one point the spirit was, you know, the evil spirit was talking. And then she would talk and it'd go back and forth. And I just said to her, hey, you know what? God loves you. But today's not your day. And, you know, come back sometime. And we never saw her again. But I felt all this compassion. I prayed for her a lot around that time, prayed that she would find herself to somebody else. But that day I knew, just in my soul, that was a distraction. That was trying to keep us off of something important. And the main thing was preaching the gospel, you know? So that would have taken me hours probably to derail and no one would have preached. And so in that leaders meeting, the same thing where, I felt like it was disrupting something really important, but we invite her because she said, so, well, we have a leaders meeting. And she goes, oh, can I come? And our philosophy was anybody from the church can come to a leaders meeting. We don't gossip about people. We don't talk about their personal problems. If there's something to talk about, we, you know, be amongst the elders. And so we would have elders and deacons, kind of biblically. You got, you know, those who kind of, you know, the word govern, but really lead. And then you got deacons. And a deacon is really someone serving. It's all servant, but one has a little more responsibility. The elders have more responsibility. And so when those meetings would come, what we would typically do is we would just, you know, I'll kind of tell you how we run the leaders meeting. What we wanted to do was give anybody transparency, and anytime you can come, and it's never backfired. Like, you think, oh, what about divisive people? Never had a problem. I mean, I can't think of a better way to deal with a divisive person than to have them in that meeting with all the leaders. You know, like, we got to talk through something. Let's talk through it. First thing is, you know, you're there as a leader to listen to your team. You're not there to tell them. And so what I like to do, the very first thing is, obviously we eat, because people are less grumpy when they eat. You definitely want to feed people. I want to come straight out of a church meeting. By the way, that's when I do it. I think when everybody's already together at church, don't take from their family. Don't take from one of their nights. What else are you going to do on a Sunday afternoon? Except go to the movies. So eat lunch together first, right? Bless them, treat them. And then once you do that, then go for a time of prayer. Like, just start with prayer. As you know, and you lead the prayer and have an open time of prayer. Let everybody address God if they want. Everybody doesn't have to, but I like to talk about listening in those prayers, because my philosophy of a leadership meeting is, as we come together, we're here to listen primarily. We are a team leadership. If I'm, you know, say like serving the team as team lead, it's a team leadership. It's shared. Decisions don't get made by Peyton Jones. But if I team lead, it means that I am leading the team. So they are my shepherding responsibility. I'm discipling them and looking after them. So like when Paul walks in to Jerusalem and he says, I perceive, it was a team leadership. There are 12. Jesus set him up. But Paul says, when I came into him, I perceived that three of them were pillars. So he can see the team leads when he comes in. They're serving the rest of the team. So the three of them were serving the other nine. And it's interesting because we don't know how they broke it up, but they definitely had kind of a structure, you know, like when they set up the seven deacons, you know, to serve alongside the 12 apostles. It wasn't hierarchical as much as functional. And so we had that same thing. And what I would often do is I would have a deacon be like an elder in training. And that was taken from when Paul gives the advice where he says, you know, if they're going to be a deacon, let them serve first, right? And so it's like you have to be doing the thing before you get into leadership. Well, it's the same with deacon. I would never put someone in an elder unless I test them first as a deacon. And I would always do like 6 months terms when they started, because sometimes people get a whiff of some kind of authority, which I don't think these are authoritarian roles at all, but they get in that and they change. So I would always give them a like 6 month term to start, like a probation. Hey, you know, just, and again, before I even ask someone to be a part of leadership, I'd invite them to those meetings and see how they behave. So again, having an open meeting is a great thing. But then once we would have the meeting, like I said, we'd finish, we'd eat, then we'd have prayer. Then I would ask them, hey guys, let's start off. What's going well? And I would just go around the room and see with everybody what's going well. And that sets a tone right there. This isn't a gripe session. Let's celebrate first. What's going well in the church right now? What are you celebrating? What's, you know, and maybe different people have different responsibilities. And a church might, you're going to have a department, really. I mean, you might have a Sunday school. You might have a youth group. You might. But your deacons, it's not like department heads as far as I'm concerned. That's not how I ran it. But people would just share and we'd be all excited. And then I say, okay, guys, you know, let's talk about things that are challenges right now or things that we need to be thinking about that maybe we're not seeing. And then people bring it up. And what I would always do is I would take those, like I'd write them down and then I would prioritize them. So we go around the circle, people would bring them up. Then we prioritize, okay, I'm just going to take these down. I prioritize them. Then we deal with them, right? Like the big ones you're going to deal with first, right? It might have been the thing that came up fourth or fifth, but you're going to deal with it first. Then you deal with it. You have a discussion. When you're discussing it, you're doing very little talking. In fact, what you do is you say, hey guys, every opinion here is going to be heard and valued. We're not going to take a vote of popularity. We're going to listen to each other and try to understand. We think somewhere in the middle of us will hear the voice of God. So everybody's opinion is going to be valued. So then people start sharing. And it's when people know that, they know they don't, there's not the angst. There's not like, I got to argue my point to get it across, you know. If you approach your leaders meeting like we're trying to, it's like we're trying to solve a mystery. There's a way to do this. We need to keep listening to the Lord. We need to keep talking. And by the way, decisions don't have to be made right then. Like what well, the mistake? Yeah, go
I,
ahead.
I think an important piece that I know you're going to bring up, but I got to bring it up now. So I remember you telling a story of, somebody who you'd asked to, you know, go down that path, right? You're going to start here. And I remember they asked, oh, so, you know, what do we do when we're, do we vote on a decision? And you almost kind of like chuckled and you're like, no, we don't vote. Oh, what do? We pray and we pray about it until we're all in unison. Like this is the right way forward. And I think that is, to me, that's one of the most important things for people to understand, because we have Americanized the church so much. Like, I don't want to get into it, but like there are things that I am so not in favor of in our church structures because they are very Americanized. This idea of voting, that's great for politics. That's not biblical. That's not how we do things in the church.
Yeah.
So to me, I was like, that was a very eye-opening way, the way that you'd explained it to the guy. You're just like, no, we're going to pray about it until we're all in agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we would like, that's why I'm saying like, it doesn't have to be made right then. Like one of those things could take a while for us to really talk through. And if it felt like it was going to go on, depending on the order of priority and how important it was, you know, you'd say, okay, guys, look, I don't think we have clarity on this, but let's move on to this one. If the others are really trivial, I'd bring it up and say, hey guys, I know we've been talking for a long time on this. You know, five other things are brought up. Those are really important, but what we'll do is, you know, we'll shelve those because they're not imminent, but they're important. Let's keep dealing with this one for now. Is everybody cool with that? Yeah. Everybody's cool. And someone might say, you know what? Actually, Peyton, I know it doesn't seem important, but if we don't deal with this over the next few weeks, I'm going to have a problem because I got such and such and I just lost so and so. Okay. Well, let's deal with that one real quick. Then we'll get back to the, you know, so we would deal with that real quick. But the reality is the big ones, they often don't get solved that day, right? If it's a really big problem, there's nothing wrong with saying, all right, guys, this is big. Let's pray about it. Let's go think about it. Let's seek some counsel on it. And then we'll come back. And I might even say, talk to people about it. See what they think. We're not congregational, but I just was not afraid of people. Right. I wasn't afraid of people's opinions. I wasn't afraid of people saying, hey, like we would from the front, you know, this, we would tell the church all the time, hey, we're just knuckleheads trying to listen to Jesus. That's it. You know, if maybe God's going to speak through you, like it wasn't like this ownership thing, like you're the leadership, you know, listen to us. It was really, I would say humble servant leadership. And
that attitude, you know, we've used this example so many times on the podcast, but it just reminds me of that time when David, you know, the crazy guy starts yelling at David and they're like, oh, you want us to get rid of him? He's like, no, stop. You might have something I need to hear. Let him talk. Like sometimes, you know, what you need to hear is going to come from the crazy person.
Yeah.
And you can't be afraid of it. Like, go ahead and talk. And if it ends up being crazy, great. And whatever, it's just all crazy. But maybe you got something I need to hear.
That's it. And I think, you know, just going through life, right? Isn't that how the Lord works, where you get people that say something to you and it's one sentence or it's one phrase. It could be somebody's mom, you know, like that goes to the church and she just got wisdom, the gift of wisdom. And she says something, you're like, huh, you didn't get it from a theology book. You didn't get it from a sermon. You didn't get it from John Piper, or, you know, whoever. You can get it from this podcast. Somebody just said something. The Lord used it. And that's, you know, we've talked about this before. Watching movies, man. Like, there are times I'm watching movies. I was watching some sci-fi thing the other day, and I felt God speak to me through it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So God can speak from any... can speak out of the mouth of Balaam's donkey.
I was going to say, if he used an ass, he used me.
So here's the, my mind goes back to J. Vernon McGee story, which will not be told at this moment with that. Oh, but
dude, I got to hear that one because I love J. Vernon McGee.
I need to tell you this story. It's the best story ever. I cannot believe I've not told you this in all the years that we've been together.
I just remember him like not liking the guitar. He's like, Psalm says David had a five string guitar, you know, a five string or whatever it was, right? I don't know how many strings are on a guitar or whatever.
Yeah.
Like he was like blasting the guitar because she didn't like it.
I shall praise you with my five stringed lyre or whatever it is.
There's six on a guitar. That's not biblical.
Yeah, Spurgeon hated the pipe organ. Did you know that?
Well, so do I. So I like Spurgeon.
And he hated choirs. He hated the pipe organ. Yeah, he called it the devil's instrument. Yeah, it's great. And you know, knowing Spurgeon, it's tongue in cheek. It's just, I don't like it, so I'm going to call it the devil's instrument.
Right.
But he just liked it when people sing, you know, just liked to hear the voices. So, but he also said when Satan fell from heaven, he landed in the choir loft. Is that, you know, that's the source of so many problems, right? Because you got a bunch of prima donnas who, my voice needs to be heard. But anyways, so going back to the leaders meeting, yeah, don't be afraid to shelf something and say, guys, this is important. We're going to come back to it and we're going to pray. But what we would do is I would tell people, hey, let's spend time praying about this and waiting on the Lord. And if you feel during this anything, a thought occurs to you, or you get a picture, or you just want to pray. And, you know, as we just slowed down and took time, you know, and sometimes it was in discussion. I would say, you know, God, the prophetic word might come, and they would come. And I wouldn't make it like prime the pump, like it has to be a prophetic word or anything like that. But it just, it's kind of like ways that you go to Narnia, right? Where they go through the wardrobe the first time. And then the professor tells him, you know, at the end of the first book, he goes, oh, you know, there's many ways to Narnia. I mean, you're not going to go through a wardrobe again. Next time they go to Narnia, they're sitting on a bus, you know, and the bus suddenly like phases into Narnia. And like, that's how it happens. You know, lightning doesn't strike often in the same way twice, but it's all part of learning to listen and let Jesus be the senior leader and let him lead the church in what you're doing. And like case in point, like I mentioned last week, because I haven't had my leaders meeting in a while now, because I've been on the book thing. So after church on Sundays, I'd go write, you know, and my leadership team's been in a holding mode. But like the other day, Bo says, hey, you know, this family, you know, yada, yada. It came from one of our people. And our thing right now is let our people bring us mission. And if people bring us mission, we're going to go on it. That's our thing right now. So they brought, hey, there's this family. They can't afford the funeral. They're doing like raising funds for it and doing tacos. And we're going to go serve. Some of us are going to go down there. Happened to be on Sunday. I did not feel it. It was good that we just canceled church and went down there and did that. But I said, hey, why don't we tell our people? This is why we give. See if we can. You know, maybe introduce some new people to giving. That's great. And then the church will top it off. But that whole thing was kind of letting go. Like it wasn't ideal. It wasn't how I would normally want to encourage mission, but it came from one of my leaders who felt their heart tugged that way. And it was really good for us to do this. We only lost a couple of people that went to it, but they came back and told the group this and that happened and this was great. And they're so blessed, you know, and you just see right away, like the people are starting to trust, like I really matter to this team. Like I brought it. And in me, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I'd give that like a 5 out of 10, as far as the kind of mission you brought us. But for them, it was a 10 out of 10. And they thought to bring it to the church and ask the church, like, hey, can we be? And we've been saying, you bring us mission, we'll do it. You know, we'll figure out a way to do it. So, I mean, I'm just loving that. And, you know, so I just really think listening to Jesus, and I had to listen to Jesus a little bit on that when it was first presented, because I'm like, oh, it's on a Sunday. And, oh, you know, just give money to these people. Like, we got needs for that money. And Jesus always has a solution, is what I'm trying to say. And it's always going to be better than what you thought in your limited understanding. And when the group comes together, you know, again, this comes back to the APES. The apostolic thinks mission, the shepherd thinks community, the prophet thinks worship, the evangelist thinks gospel, the teacher thinks scripture. We all come together with these different important aspects of what Christ wants to do. And if you're only making a decision, like for me as an apostolic, the church becomes a mission station. And you could definitely say that Refuge Long Beach, although that wasn't just what it was, it had that flavor, right? And as the other gifts were kind of entering the leadership team more and more, it started to change. And then when Langham came and took over, it started to shape itself more like, you know, it got more of a teacher thumbprint on it. But as the team is there, it's going to round out, you know. Bonomo brought the shepherd to it, you know. So, I mean, all these things kind of play in and really matter. So you want to hear Jesus' voice, and he's going to say different things through different people in your leadership team. So that's, yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, but, you know, always end with prayer and always end on a high. You know, and I think when you go to a leaders meeting, you should have some kind, if you're the team lead, you should have some kind of devo, some kind of word that you've waited on the Lord and you're ministering to them with. And it should be brief. It should be 5-10 minutes. It shouldn't be long, but it should be a shot in the arm for them. You can do that at the beginning or you can do that at the end. Typically, I like to do it at the end. I like to give them encouragement and exhortation at the very end. And then leave them with that. And then tell them, hey, we'll do this again next month. And just do it every month. And you, what this really does for your leadership team is it gets them two things. Leadership teams get frustrated when they don't feel heard and they don't get to contribute. Why would you ask them on your leadership team if you never listen to them and you never give them the ability to make solutions? They're there to contribute. They're there to collaborate. That's what's exciting about being on leadership. So make sure that you do it regularly, because otherwise, if you don't, you're not giving them a chance to contribute. You're not giving it, and you're not hearing them. You got it. Really, again, going back to the golden rule of a leadership meeting is not to tell them things. It's to hear them. It's to listen to things. So hopefully that helps, but that's my best advice.
Let me ask you something, because this is the question that keeps running through my head is, you know, how do you deal with that leadership team when you got all this accounting you got to do and all the bookkeeping for, I mean, I don't understand. How do you do it?
You know, Pete, there are people that have thought about that. People way smarter than you and I. And, you know, they have a name, Pete. They have a name that is a name that, you know, we would not have come up with on our own. It's
because we're simple and simpletons.
We're simple folk who need things simplified, Pete. And hey, if you're in a church, why not have a simplified church?
Oh, wait, is there a place called simplifiedchurch.com?
Simplifiedchurch.com is a place to go for all your bookkeeping needs, Pete. Your accounting.
Amazing.
Oh yeah. They even have like PAs and everything. Like, hey, if you need more people to do more stuff for you, go to Simplify Church to help you get your 501c3, your government compliance. They're amazing. And you'll have a unique specialist, Pete, that knows you by name and understands the ins and outs of church planting.
That sounds amazing. Simplifychurch.com.
What was amazing was that segue. I did not see that coming, Pete.
It's been a while, and I was like, that's right. He gives a plug out to, you know what? We're going to segue the sucker in.
Yes, he intermittently gives a plug out, but we've been doing it more recently. So,
yeah.
You know, it's, I don't even know if they expect us to do that anymore. But anyway, simplifychurch.com, it's actually who I use, and they are amazing. Honestly, they're amazing. They're so good. Like, they'll help with payroll. Like, dude, they're rad. Honestly, if you're not using something like that, guys, do yourself a favor. Kind of like we're saying about like where Peter goes, hey, I need to give myself to the Word of God in prayer. And they're affordable. They're competitive. So we know him personally. Josh, who he used to own it. He doesn't own it anymore. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, I do. He told me.
Yeah. So he was a church planner. He started this for church planners. But it's all the same people working there. Like I still work with the same people. I've had since I've been there 3 or 4 specialists, and my absolute favorites, sorry if our specialists are listening, was my very first one, which was like his first gal ever on the job. But my one right now is like the best. They're comparable, but she's so cool. Like, she's the best. She's quick. She does everything. So I don't mean to go on about it. You know, Pete and I don't get money for anything that you do. We're careful who we vet, and, you know, they're great. So give them a chance, simplifiedchurch.com.
Cool. Should I sign us out?
I was going to make a little announcement, and, I will just say, if you look kind of hard, I'm not making it public yet, but for you as listeners, if you want to pre-order the copy of the book that comes out in March, I'm just saying you can head on over to Amazon and you'll find Discipology on the pre-order on Amazon. Shh.
Did I get an acknowledgement?
That's a good question. I don't know if you got your two pager this time.
I didn't get an acknowledgement.
You did.
That's what I hear.
You got
again,
an acknowledgement.
I hear.
You got it.
Pete, we forgot about you again.
No, you got an acknowledgement for sure. So you're on there. You're one of my few friends. I put you in the time section because, believe it or not, out of all my friends, you get more time than anyone else. So,
as I should.
Yeah, my acknowledgments are broken down in time, teaching, and tactics. So some of the dead guys got the teaching. Lloyd Jones, you know, it's not like we're homies, but he got an acknowledgement. Spurgeon, you know, we're going to be homies in heaven. But yeah, so the dead guys and the teaching, the tactics, my youth pastor I was telling you about, like my youth pastor was tactics hardcore. The guy who led me to Jesus was tactics hardcore, right? I come to Jesus one day. 2 days later, he's got me on the beach, like sharing the gospel. Like, hey, you got to do this. This is, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. All the parties at the end of the year. Hey, we got to go there and share the gospel with all your friends. So, like, the dude went on to become an evangelist, which is no surprise. So, but yeah. So you're in the time section because, you know.
I love it.
I choose you, Pikachu. All right. Hey, with that, guys, Pete, sign us out.
And remember, if you want to reach to the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.